3, 2, 1, hit it.
Chris Rongi, Amy Marks Kors, the Chris and Amy Show.
You know who it
also,
is.
Also, if you didn't know, this is called the show.
Yeah. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Wake up. If you're still asleep, what are you doing?
Wake. What if someone's alarm was like a clock radio?
And it was just, it turns up. On it right at 9:04. It turned on and I said, wake up. It's time for you to stop sleeping, don't you think?
You know, have a good day with us.
That's
what's wrong with the world these days.
People sleeping it
People
away.
People want to sleep. They don't want to work.
Nobody wants to work anymore.
Nobody wants to work. Amy we Marks, don't want to work. That's how we know.
Man, you know what? I think I'm going to go. Hey, let's have a good day, shall we? Till 12 o'clock, it's the Chris and Amy Show, then the Gas House Gang at noon, which is a good time to have it because we are getting close to the trade deadline is tomorrow. We expect the Cardinals to be active. So KMOX, by the way, tomorrow will be keeping you updated throughout the day with regular check-ins from Tom Ackerman and Matt Pauly as we get you closer to the trade deadline at 5 o'clock. So just so you know, you want to know what the Cardinals are going to do. Tomorrow, you need to stick with us. 314-436-7900. Talk to us on the phone or via text. Voice messages from the Odyssey app. You can leave them straight from there. It is super easy. And if you're a visual learner, if you would prefer to watch us, you can. You can use YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. Our account is at Chris Amy KMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Attorney General Andrew Bailey in Missouri is investigating Sam Page, the county executive, for potential use of taxpayer money on an April ballot mailer. So we are going to talk to Maria Kina about that, who is all over the story.
Is your electric bill obscene?
Probably.
Ameren's price hike. It has been hitting everyone hard, but there seems to be more to the story. The bills seem to be way too high for the proposed hike, and so guess who's on that story?
Maria Kina.
That's right. We're starting a new segment called Give 'em Hell, Maria.
The electric bill is too damn high.
Give 'em hell, Maria!
Cardinals lose last night. They will play tonight at 6:45. It's the rubber match, and again, we are getting closer to the trade deadline. Also, how about this? City SC hosting Aston Villa tonight from the English Premier League. For those of us in the know, it's called the EPL.
So, question? Is
tonight.
Is that Aston Villa's A team or it's not a
I think, no, I think it's like an it's the
Aston Villa.
It is the Aston Villa.
Well, that doesn't seem right.
Why doesn't it seem right?
Because everyone knows, right? The Premier League is different than MLS.
It's different.
It's a higher level.
Correct. But sometimes there are these, I believe they call this a friendly.
So Aston Villa is going to be nice?
No, it's just it's kind of basically an exhibition. Yeah. It's just a game. Soccer is so weird in that they just play these random games for fun in the middle of the year that don't count to standings.
Hey, do you want to have 7 independent tournaments in the middle of the regular season?
Do I?
And do you want to play random friendly games against teams that aren't even in the same continent or league?
Now,
yes.
We'll see this one, I think, would be really interesting.
Oh, my gosh.
To go see that.
If you get a chance to see a Premier League team.
Hell yeah.
You go.
I know they're playing against Nashville Saturday. Aston Villa is.
Oh.
So I don't know if they played. I probably should check that. But the fact that they have got all these games against, or at least a couple of games against MLS teams is cool.
If you ask,
that happens a lot. I remember Manchester United when I was in Chicago; they came to play the Fire, and Man U at that time was really.
Yeah.
They were. I mean, they're still a big deal, but they were really, really good back then.
If you asked 100 people, when is the MLS season and when is the Premier League season, would they know?
100.
Yeah.
I bet 25% would know.
Really?
One out of every... Well, okay.
Do you know?
I am confused by the soccer seasons.
Yes, that's the point of the question.
I know this.
I don't know. Like, is Aston Villa in the middle of their season, or is this a warm-up?
Yeah, because they have other games. This little America trip is sandwiched by other
they're
games.
They're in the middle of their season, and they left the continent.
They played Frankfurt on the 26th of July.
But they're not Premier League.
So that is not Premier League. This must be, maybe it's a Champions League or something.
See, this is
my European
point
League.
About
I don't
the
know
question.
What the hell this is.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I do believe, and I like soccer. Yeah. I really do enjoy the sport. I think the seasons are very confusing.
So you know that famous meme of St. Louis when you're downtown and all of the bridges and the interchanges, and it's like this joke meme because the highway signs are like 44 East, 55, 40, and then all these different signs piled on top of each other with 10 different arrows and you don't know where to go. That's how I feel when I look at the soccer seasons.
Well, I feel like the Pied Piper because I mentioned Manchester United and our boss immediately texts in because he is the biggest Man U fan in the world. And he is informing us that the EPL starts mid-August. And that Manchester United played last Saturday night in New York, and 83,000 people were there for your information.
We're going to get in trouble for this conversation. Nobody knows soccer, Steve. No, I know you do, but nobody knows. No one can keep track of these things.
Matt, do you know when the EPL starts?
The EPL?
I know what the EPL is.
I know. No, I don't know.
English Premier League soccer begins mid-August.
Here's what we're going to do for the next 5 minutes. We're going to ask when a league starts and wait for our boss to text the answer. When does the Bundesliga start, Steve?
Amy, talk about something before,
before we get in trouble.
We're waiting for...
We're going to get in trouble, but this is actually, speaking of getting in trouble, this is actually a really big deal. Sam Page, the St. Louis County executive, is officially embroiled.
Oh, I love to be embroiled.
That's the word that they use. This is insane. So, as Ronj mentioned at the beginning of the show, Attorney General Andrew Bailey is investigating Sam Page for the use of taxpayer funds to send out informational pamphlets leading up to the election and how that might not be on the up and up. That could be an illegal use of taxpayer funds. And that sounds, on the surface, kind of boring. Here's what's interesting. The Missouri Highway Patrol showed up at Sam Page's office on Monday morning and confiscated his cell phone. Now, I know that we are talking to Brad Young at 11:15 because here's my question. You have a pretty high bar for evidence to have the ability to confiscate the cell phone of someone, especially the cell phone of an elected official. You got to have evidence. You got to have a good reason to confiscate the cell phone. Secondly, I didn't know the Missouri Highway Patrol did that. Like, I thought that would be something
the
feds
part
do.
Of the, right.
Also, what makes this more interesting, and Sam Page did say at the county council last night, the county council meeting, that it is in relation to the taxpayer fund and the informational brochures, because initially nobody knew why the state patrol showed up to his office on Monday and took his phone. Sam Page has now hired an attorney with his own money, right? He said, this is my private money. The attorney is Jeff Jensen. Yes, the former U.S. prosecutor. So a pretty big time lawyer. And now you have the St. Louis County executive, Sam Page, with a former U.S. prosecutor, Jeff Jensen.
And he is paying for this out of his own pocket.
That's what he said, yep. Going against Attorney General Andrew Bailey, who I guess gave the authority for the state troopers to go to Sam Page's office and take his phone. I want to know, again, what evidence did they have to have the, you know, the legal ability to confiscate his phone? How did they know what's on his phone? Did someone on the inside say, hey, this is what's on his phone? I don't understand how that works. And that's why I want to talk to Brad Young, because my understanding is the bar's pretty high. Someone pointed out they didn't even take Sheriff Alfred Montgomery's phone yet.
Nobody better touch my sheriff's phone.
That's right. They haven't taken his golf carts yet. This guy's getting more stuff.
New how do you badges, think I'm getting to work?
New badges, new Suburbans or whatever it is. So this is actually a pretty big deal, especially for a county where Sam Page, you remember, became the St. Louis County Executive in 2019 when the former St. Louis County Executive, Steve Sanger, went to federal prison.
So
This is very interesting. Yes. And maybe Brad Young will say, oh, it's not that big a deal to take someone's phone. But my understanding is that it is. You got to have the right evidence.
Yeah, it does. This is it's an interesting thing. And you thought that a federal agency would have been responsible for something like this, but it may not be because it's, I don't know if when it comes to taxpayer money, mm-hmm. if that is the agency, maybe it's a little bit different in Missouri. It's tough to pin that down, and we could talk to Maria Kina about that. But I think the most interesting thing about all of this is it doesn't seem like, and maybe it's just that we haven't heard from yet, many of his allies on this. And I don't know how many allies he's got in the county. I know that people who are of the same party that he is in seem to not be happy with him. Shalonda Webb, councilwoman, said, this distraction is not needed. I have real work for Sam Page to do. And I get that frustration because, yeah. you know, I do believe there are people in government, local government, even national government that really truly do want to do good by people. They want to work for the public. They want to make sure things in their county, their state, their city, their country are running smoothly and making lives a little easier for the people who live there. I know that the feeling about politicians is that all of them are snakes. None of them really care about the rest of us. They only care about themselves. But there are people, I imagine, who are on that council, who work for the county, who want things to be running smoothly, and they can't have this happen with the county executive.
Yes. Well, and we know that. I mean, you know, again, we do know certain, you know, people, a lot of people do go into especially local politics because they care, because they want to make a difference. We've had great conversations with Steve Ellman, right? The St. Yeah. Charles County executive, and he wants to get out of, he's getting out of politics now because it's gotten so ugly. But here's the thing with Sam Page. This is not the first time he's been embroiled. We know that during COVID, when he had all of the ARPA funds, well, he was still working for a hospital and a medical system, and medical systems and hospitals were vying for ARPA funds, and he didn't recuse himself from handling that money, which could have been a conflict of interest. Again, you need to avoid any semblance of impropriety, even if you're totally on the up and up. He didn't do that. He said this is the Office of Transparency now. He's not going to make the same mistakes Steve Stenger made. Well, at the same time, he's working as a doctor, and while the county charter says, well, all of your time needs to be in the duties of the county executive, which is admittedly vague, but understood that your full-time job, he would not share with the press how many hours he was working at the hospital. He said, well, he goes, no, I'm on the up and up. I'm not doing, it's just volunteering once a week. Okay, can we see your hours? No. Can we see your days? Absolutely not. Well, if it's on the up and up, why wouldn't you just say, see? Because the hospital has to be tracking what he's working. No hospital has no idea when an anesthesiologist or whoever is there. It's not a guesswork game. If he truly is on the up and up, and it's truly the administration of transparency, show the press the hours that you're working at the hospital to say, see, it's all good. And honestly, I think that story would have died right away had he done that. But it was the lack of transparency and his refusal to say how much he's working that made people go, well, now, what exactly are you doing? Because that's a lot of money you're bringing in.
Yeah, and in response to my comment that I think there are a lot of politicians who are really trying to do good for their constituents and get into it for the right reasons, there are a lot of people who aren't. Mm-hmm. And Colonel Ripper, who was watching us on YouTube, says, yeah, but how come there are so many scumbags? I think it's because oftentimes the scumbags are the loudest and you hear from them because they are so vocal. And because they had their hands in everything and they want you to know about them.
And not with everybody, but I do think the power or the ego or the relationships or whatever it is that happens when you get into politics, I do think it changes some people. Because we know good, you know, we can all name good politicians who, like, I were pretty positive about at the beginning, who later sold themselves out.
And there are a lot of good politicians who were good when they started and serving for multiple years still are good, which we probably don't give them enough credit or highlight them enough. Let us know what you think. 314-436-7900. Our boss texts in again, Steve, and he says Tottenham sucks, which I am not having that because I have been a lifelong Tottenham fan since 2017. I'm not having that slander. 314-436-7900.
It's the Roosters. The Hotspurs.
Hotspurs.
But they look like Roosters.
It's the cockerel and ball. That's what it is. It's
no,
a cockerel.
It's not. Is that why you picked it?
No.
Ron, you are such
not.
A child.
That is not why I picked
it. You're like, I'll take the cockerel and ball.
Chris and Amy on KMOX. Chris and Amy on KMOX. We're talking about Sam Page, the St. Louis County executive who is in the embroiler right now. Because he's being investigated by the Attorney General here in Missouri for misuse of campaign funds, taxpayer money.
And I do want to make a quick note because, again, on the surface, that sounds boring until you realize.
Well, you can't misuse. If that's what he's done, you can't do that.
But it was so bizarre. Imagine the scene. You're at the county executive's office. You're the county council. You have no idea what's going on. And Missouri State Highway Patrol shows up and takes the phone of the county executive, which, again, I didn't know the state patrol does that type of thing. That's really interesting. Generally, too, this is the type of thing where the feds show up. So I don't know if...
Can they look through your photos?
Absolutely.
So they're going to look through emails and text messages and that sort of thing. Can they look at your picture?
They might see sexy time.
Ew.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, it's not the first time there'll be sexy time at the St. Louis County office, by the way.
Hey.
But quick note, also interesting that this happened on Monday morning. Sam Page didn't say anything at all until last night. So that's almost two full days. It is two full days. It's all of Monday. It's all of Tuesday. And he's got like five comms people. So if you don't say anything for 2 days after the State Highway Patrol takes your phone, what are you doing for those 2 days? And how bad is it?
I mean, he's probably, well, it doesn't necessarily mean it is. It could be that he's trying to formulate the correct legal response to that so he doesn't get into more trouble. I have no idea. Infestus Bill is with us on KMOX. Hi, Bill.
Hi, good morning.
What's up?
Well, calling from beautiful Jefferson County here. Former Republican, I didn't leave the party. I think the answer to your question of why is, first of all, Amy said it was a scene, quote unquote, so a scene.
You're breaking up. The last thing we heard you say, Bill, was Amy said it was a scene.
Yes.
Okay.
So Amy said it was a scene, and that's what they needed. And so, you know, you think, well, what party is Sam Page? What party is Bailey? And there's the answer to your question of why, and why was it a scene right there?
Gotcha.
So you think he was looking to make some sort of statement, the Attorney General is what you're contending.
Yes.
And to Bill's point, Bill, and to your point, Sam Page is the highest ranking Democrat in the state of Missouri.
Oh, there you go.
But, so, I mean, it doesn't mean he didn't do anything wrong,
right.
But maybe he wanted to see. I don't know.
But Bill may not be wrong either.
Bill may not be wrong. Like, maybe Sam Page, let's say Sam Page did do all the things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It was a scene.
Yeah.
So maybe Andrew Bailey was leaning into it. We just don't know. But Bill, I appreciate your phone call.
And this is just my personal doubts. I have doubts that if Sam Page was a Republican and this exact same thing was happening, I don't know that it would be investigated as thoroughly. I don't know that. And maybe I'm wrong and you can prove me wrong. And I will accept defeat on that. I know right now it's difficult to play that exercise out because the county executive is not a Republican, but
he's not.
I just have doubts.
Yeah, and it's been a while. I don't know when last time. Gosh, when was the last time? Who am I thinking of? St. Louis County had a Republican. I mean, it's pretty much been a blue seat. But I will say this: Sam Page is a Democrat, but Democrats don't like Sam Page. He lost almost everyone on the county council who's a Democrat. So you could say, oh, this is Republican-Democrat. I get it. But, I mean, Hancock and Kelly have said this. usually to succeed in politics, you need to have the ability to make friends. And somehow Sam Page has made enemies of both parties.
Yeah.
So he's not liked by Democrats either. The Democrats on the county council are not fans of him.
And Brian, watching on YouTube, said that exact same thing. He is disliked by both sides of the county council. So, yeah, this will be fascinating to pay attention to. Maria Kina from our newsroom is on this story, so we are going to be talking to Maria. Also, she's going to talk to us about the Ameren price hike, because people are starting to feel it with their electric bill. It's getting a little out of hand how expensive it is, and so Maria is covering that story as well. She is everywhere. It's hot today. It was hot yesterday.
Yeah.
It was hot the day before that.
But
it's going to be like 75 tomorrow.
Oh, so, my goodness.
We thought it'd be a good idea, because energy bills are true to roof. We thought it'd be a good idea to have an expert in to help you keep costs down as best as you possibly can for the moment. So we've got a manager with Jerry Kelly Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical, Jeff Miller, in studio with us, also apparently an actor. We just found out during the break.
So we don't even know if he really works for Jerry Kelly.
He might just have the shirt. So, Jeff, thank you for coming in.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
Okay, well, we've got all kinds of questions for you. Because there's all these theories and approaches to hot weather and your AC method. Now, I think I messed up. So someone said that there's two theories as far as like the AC and the fan, right? And how you can turn, say you set your AC at 74 and it's on auto, obviously, so it kicks on and off. Or you set your AC on 74 and you keep it so that the fan's on no matter what. And I picked the fan. I don't know why. Someone just said that sometimes that's better, but none of us know why. Can you please explain, should I do the auto or should I do the fan on?
So most of the time we're going to recommend that you do the auto, right?
Okay.
And so you want to turn your AC to auto and your fan to auto, right? So you're cooling on and then your fan to auto, so that when your system's only going to turn on and run when it needs to satisfy the temperature on that thermostat. If you leave the fan on the whole time, then it's going to run the whole time, right? So it's not necessarily going to try to reach that temperature on your thermostat and then shut off. It's going to continue to run regardless of whether it's already at the temperature that you set the thermostat at.
So if hypothetically someone moved 3 weeks ago and has had the fan on for 3 weeks, did that person make a really stupid mistake and blow up their AC?
I don't think it would necessarily blow up their AC, but if you did that for a very long period of time, like the entire summer, then that means your motor is running the entire time, which means that motor could get really hot and cause damage to the inside blower motor on the inside of your furnace. So you don't want to do that for definitely long periods of time. If you want to do that for a short period of time just to like get some airflow in your house, that's okay. But you definitely don't want to leave your fan on all summer or anything like that.
I did that with a window unit a few years ago, because the place I lived in, that's what we had, were window units. And I just had it on and I thought it froze up. It just stopped working. And so I turned it off for a while and it was ready to go like a day or two later.
Well, it could be a possibility on a window unit, you know, because it's the thermostats usually attached on the window unit itself. It could be that it's only reading the temperature in that area of the home. So if you have it on the fan on full blast that whole time, what probably happened to you is that it froze up.
That's,
and then when you turned it back off and turned it back on.
Did it actually freeze?
Yeah. So if the coil, the evaporator coil drops below 32 degrees, then it will actually become a gigantic block of ice inside of the indoor unit of your system, or even on the lines to the outdoor on a split system. And then it can actually freeze on a window unit as well.
Okay. So Jeff, not to belabor the point, but what would be the theory behind someone telling me to keep the fan on?
Well, if they're trying to get more airflow like through your house and you want to be able to feel that air moving, then that would be one reason, or just to give you a boost of cooling, you know, to keep your system running longer. Something that people may get confused on this topic is there's also scheduling, right? So it's actually not ideal to set a schedule on your thermostat where it's going to be 78 while I'm gone away from work. And then when I get home, I'm going to set it to 68, right? Because it's having to work harder to try to get back to that temperature. So it's actually better to keep your system on auto and at a set temperature that you like it comfortable in house and have it maintain that temperature than it is for it to continue to try to fight to get to it.
So, okay, because I was feeling super guilty because I had my... I've pretty much had my house at like 74, 75 during the day, and then I bump it down at night. But I felt guilty because I felt like 74, if I'm not home, is too cold. But you're saying that's better than letting it go up to 78 while I'm gone.
Yes, it's better for two reasons. It's better for efficiency because your system's going to have to work longer and harder to get back to that temperature that you have it lower at night. And it's also better for system longevity. So if that system is constantly having to work harder and longer to continue to fight to get down to that temperature, then that's going to put more wear and tear on the components of your system and cause it to fail sooner in its life.
So then why do these, and maybe I'm not understanding, but you have these smart thermostats that can, and I guess these are I guess, are they considered smart if they can... adjust the timer you can set them for, like, I want it to be 70 when I'm home but 78 when I'm away, and they do that automatically for you. Why is that option there then?
It is an option for people who may be gone for longer periods of time.
Right, but not for people leaving for the day.
Yeah, typically when we say smart thermostat, we're talking about a thermostat that could connect to a Wi-Fi capability where you can control it from your phone from anywhere.
Well, I've never had a good one that you can, set. Like where you could set the times where at 5 o'clock, I want it to get down to this temperature. So they're all smart to me, Jeff. That's
fair enough. I think it also depends on how extreme the weather is outside, right? A schedule is not going to impact your system nearly as much when it's 75 like it is tomorrow or if it's 82. But if it's 184% humidity outside, then having that system on a schedule is going to make it work harder. Because the first thing an AC does... is remove humidity from your home. So if every time that you leave, you have it set on a schedule, more humidity is going to be added to your home. It's going to have to work harder to remove that humidity.
Wow. Okay.
Speaking of humidity, I've never seen this before, but next to my thermostat in the place I just moved into, right next to it is a humidity control, which I've never had that before. So, and it gives you the percentage of what do I want it set at? If you have one of these, a separate control for humidity, what do you put it at?
Most likely you're talking about a humidistat, which is for a humidifier.
Yes.
And right now you want that off completely.
Okay.
And if you have a dampener that closes from summer to winter, it's called a bypass humidifier. You want to make sure you turn that dampener to summer because you definitely don't want to be adding humidity into your home right now.
Well, I wish somebody would have explained that to me.
Wait, Jeff. Where is the dampener?
The dampener is it's called a bypass humidifier.
Where did I find that?
So on the side of your system, you're going to have a humidifier that's attached.
The outside system.
The inside system.
Okay,
yeah,
the inside system, which is in the basement.
In the basement or the attic, or sometimes they're in a closet, depending on the home.
Yeah. Find the system inside.
Yes, find the system inside first. So most people don't know this, but half of your air conditioner is actually inside, on top of your fan. Right?
Okay.
Right next to that, what we call an evaporator coil, normally on the side is going to be a humidifier that's connected to that humidistat you're talking about.
Yeah, humidistat.
If there's two different kinds, if it's called a bypass, then it's going to have this big pipe coming off of it that has a little switch on it that says summer and winter. And you want to turn that to summer because that's going to close off that, what we call bypass, so that air is not going through that, and turn your humidistat off. You definitely don't want your humidifier on right now, trying to add humidity while your AC's fighting.
I am so glad you came in here today.
This is the most helpful interview we've ever had.
Because I've been feeling, it's cool in my place naturally, but it's a little muggy. And this is why the damn thing is on right now. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Now, there's also a dehumidifier, which is better for the summer season. So you can look into that option if you're having humidity problems as well in the home.
I'd rather be dry as hell, man. Dry is great.
Yeah, I don't think I have a humidistat. I don't know, though. I'm going to go look. I'm going to go find
It's right next to the thermostat.
No. Oh, the button is?
It's a completely separate panel.
Oh, no, I don't have that.
Yeah, I've got that.
Yeah.
This is
new
for me.
But his thing that he was telling us about with the summer and winter switch, that's where the inside system is. That's not where your thermostat is.
Is there another tip that people, I know there's insulation and make sure that the cracks in your door, whatever, covered up, that sort of thing. Anything else people can do?
To help with efficiency? You
yeah.
mean? Well, there's little things that you can do to help, even with if your system is you know, having trouble keeping up. Keeping doors open in your home so that airflow is flowing throughout your home really helps keep even temperature across the home.
Because I know a lot of people who close doors thinking, well, I don't want this room to be...
Yeah.
Well, correct, but you're actually trapping the air in that room. So if that's a smaller room and it has a one or two vents in it, that room's actually going to be colder than the rest of your house now. So if you open those doors up and allow air to move freely throughout the home, then you get a more even temperature and it actually keeps all rooms more level.
What if you shut the vents in that room because you don't want it... Is that okay?
It's okay to do that, especially if you know that door is going to be closed and somebody that doesn't like it that cold in there. That's okay to do that. You don't want to do that for a long period of time if you're trying to get the most efficiency out of your system, though.
Okay, so my system in the basement, right? Like, there's the whole system where there is actually, I don't know, valves where I can limit the flow. They said it was more efficient than shutting the vent. Rather than shutting the vent in the room, I could go downstairs, and it's an old house, so it was all added later, right? And I can go downstairs, and so I limit the flow to the kitchen because the kitchen was getting way cold, but my bedroom was hot, and so I would limit the flow to the kitchen, and they said that was better than shutting the vent in the kitchen.
Okay, so I have to look at what your home is. Yeah, so you may be talking about like a manual zoning system, and so zoning systems allow you to have two different thermostats for one system to give you two different temperatures throughout your house. So you may have a dampener that you can close off to certain areas of your home.
Okay.
Is it like manual that you're doing?
It's manual. It's like in I guess it's the HVAC system, like the... I don't know, whatever's hanging from the ceiling in the basement. And there's literally a handle that I grab and pull it one way or another.
Yeah, so that's called a dampener. And what that's doing is closing off what we call a heat run to certain areas of your home. So they make those automatic as well now. So you can actually install a board that you can have pneumatic dampers to change that temperature in that different room as well. But if they're telling you that, then you probably have a manual dampener that you can close off certain areas of your home if they're getting more cool than others.
So on Friday, well, for the rest of the year, because of Jerry Kelly Heating and Air Conditioning and Electrical, we here are bringing you 100 Acts of Kindness. We've been talking about that for the last several weeks. And Jerry Kelly thought it'd be a good idea if we go to Forest Park on Friday and hand out water to people because it is hot.
But since it's not hot.
Since it's not going to be so hot.
Ron suggested.
Lemonade.
And chili.
So we're going to have a little...
You suggested chili.
I did suggest chili.
Our boss said no.
I said chili and chocolate milk, and I was shot down on a Friday morning.
Yeah. Brrr.
Yeah, I'm not so about the chili and the 95-degree weather. I'm not
so you guys
sure
are not
about that.
Down with that?
Yeah.
All right, we'll take that off the table.
We took that. We're going to do lemonade. But it will be. We'll be with Jerry Kelly at Forest Park at the Visitor Center.
Yep.
On Friday.
Outside.
For the whole show.
Out back where the handball courts are.
Mm-hmm. The new basketball courts,
the
drinking fountains, but you won't need that because we'll be there.
We're going to be handing out liquid to people.
Yeah. Jerry Kelly said, let's go help the people in Forest Park.
Are you going to be there with us?
I don't know. I'll have to get permission from my marketing team.
You're going to have to. So Jeff is responsible for teaching the technicians who come to your home. He's responsible for teaching them how to speak to you because these technical people don't know how to talk regular people.
They know what they're doing.
No, they don't.
They don't know how to talk to idiots like me.
They come in with their shoes covered because they cover the shoes.
They do the shoe cover.
They have little booties.
That's important.
They don't want to mess up your carpet, which is great.
That's a big deal.
And they don't know how to talk to you. So Jeff teaches them how to be human.
All I do is teach them how to translate technical language to more layman's terms for most people don't know a whole lot about their HVAC equipment. So.
Right. Well, because they're talking to me and I'm like, you know, the silver box things that are hanging from the ceiling.
You're not alone. You're like most customers, actually.
When we get off the air, I'm going to ask you, what is the shape of my air conditioner inside you? Because I know where the water heater is.
Jeff Miller, we appreciate the information. Thanks for coming in and helping people out. And we look forward to being at Forest Park on Friday. And I hope that you can get the day and be able to come and hang out with us.
Yeah.
I'd love to. And thank you all so much for having me.
Because we have more questions. People are texting in with questions about wintertime and all that. So we need to have you back. And because this has been very helpful. But we'll be Forest Park this Friday. So 2 days.
That's right.
9 a.m. to noon. Jerry Kelly Heating and Cooling and Air Conditioning, 100 Acts of Kindness, being kind in Forest Park.
Jeff Miller, manager at Jerry Kelly Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Ranj, I don't know how I feel about this. I don't care, but I also feel weird about it.
Tell me more.
Liam Neeson?
Yeah.
Is dating Pamela Anderson.
Wait, hold on a second.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Well, how did I not see this until just now?
I just saw this, but it's People Magazine, and it's an interview.
Really?
And it's legit. So Pamela Anderson and Liam Neeson met on the Naked Gun set.
Oh, that's right.
And I don't know if it's because I loved Natasha Richardson, who was in The Parent Trap, who was Liam Neeson's former wife. She died tragically in a ski accident. Natasha Richardson did. So I don't know if it's like that's why I can't see them together for multiple reasons. But Liam Neeson, 73 years old, and Pamela Anderson, 58, are currently enjoying each other's company.
I think that's wonderful. Good for them. Good for her. She's doing the no makeup thing.
It's no makeup makeup.
What do you mean?
It's makeup to make it look like you have no makeup. Like, they call it no makeup when it doesn't have a lot of color to it.
Is that what she's doing for sure, or are you just guessing?
No, I believe I read something where, because you have to wear,
she did an interview about this, that she just decided this is what she was going to do.
They call it no makeup, like you're not wearing mascara, but you have, like, you know, whether it's a tinted moisturizer or a light foundation to smooth everything. Because that's the thing, is if it's truly no makeup, you can tell. It's no makeup makeup.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for letting us know about that.
You're welcome.
Did you see that El Burro Loco in the Central West End closed?
No.
They're having financial difficulty. It is closed. I really like that place. However, one time I was in there, Amy, you're not going to like this story.
Okay.
I feel like I could tell it now because it's closed. I kept it to myself for a long time.
Oh, no. I forgot. You said you were going to tell the story, and I don't know the story, but I feel weird by it.
So,
I feel grossed out already.
This happened several years ago. I went there, you know, got some food, was with a friend. They brought over, I said, oh, I need some silverware. They brought over a roll of silverware. They handed it to me, and there was a cockroach on it.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
This happened. It happened. Did I eat the food? Sure
like
did.
Like a big cockroach or one of the
little? It was like a little guy. It was a little guy, but it was on there.
The one you're showing, that's like 2 inches long.
No, that was not 2 inches. It was it was like a little guy. Like maybe an inch.
Was he crunchy?
I didn't eat him.
Did he look crunchy?
Well, they're all crunchy. Yeah. But,
so
and you know what?
What did you do?
I asked for it. I said, and I showed it to the server, and he's like, oh. And he grabbed it, and they just gave me another one. I'm like,
he
all
grabbed
right.
the cockroach?
No, he gave me a different one. And you know what? I ate the food anyway.
I feel sick.
People have eaten worse. So I went right through it. All right. Hour two of the show is coming up, and then it went right through me. hour two of the show is next. We have the executive director of Pedal the Cause coming into the studio next. World Without Cancer Day is Friday, August 1st. Local restaurants and retailers are donating parts of sales to support Pedal the Cause. And we're going to talk to David Dreyer, the executive director. Also, Kui Tran from the Miley and Nudo House restaurants. Those places are awesome. Mm-hmm. And they are both going to be in studio with us next on KMOX.